We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 24th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Colin Peterson says it's important to separate legislation on commodity futures from a larger bill dealing with financial services. The CFTC is expected to recommend a variable storage rate for soft red winter wheat futures. And there's a move afoot to ask WTO to reconsider its ruling against U.S. cotton subsidies. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the December wheat pit at $4.73, 13 cents higher. The March at $4.92¾, up 13 and a quarter. And May wheat for the soft red at $5.06¾, 14 and three quarters higher. December hard red, $4.83¾, up 14 and a quarter. That, of course, traded in Kansas City. Back in Chicago, December corn futures finished 6¼ cents higher at $3.36½ on the lead option harvest month. March at $3.49¾, up 6½, and the May at $3.58½, 6 cents higher. July corn, $3.67, up 6¼. September at $3.75½. Up 6 cents for the day. November soybean futures, $9.19½, down a penny. January at $9.24½, down a half. And the March, up a half, $9.26½. May futures, $9.26½ as well, up 1½. And July soybeans, $9.28½, up 2¼. The August at $9.24, 4 cents higher. October bean meal at $2.84 is down 50 cents. October bean oil at $34.09, down 7 cents at the end of the day. October live cattle futures, $86.10, down 35. December, $47.50, lower at $85.27½. September feeders, $97 even, 15 cents higher, but the October down 75 at $97.12½. And the October lean hogs today at $50.22½, down 70 cents. On this Tuesday, or rather Thursday, afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. November crude oil futures, $65.89 a barrel, finished $3.08 lower. December at $66.38, down $3.13. October ethanol at $1.66¾, that's just about 8 tenths of a cent lower, for the rather higher for the day. Natural gas at $3.96¼, up 10 and 2 tenths. The RBOB at $1.63¼, 6 and 8 tenths lower. And the October heating oil futures, $1.68¼. That's diesel fuel, down 7 and 6 tenths. Propane contracts at $98.06 on their settlement price, up 3 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $997.50. That's right, below 1,000 now. $15.50 lower for the day, and that is the settlement price. The Dow stands at 9,697. It's just about 52 points lower, and the U.S. dollar at 76.90 is 0.85 higher on the afternoon. The CRB index for the day stands at 76.90. It is up 0.85 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says for this evening, we should have cloudy skies, some scattered showers, perhaps a few thunderstorms to the west and the south. Lows this evening will range from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 66 in the south, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, areas of rain and scattered thunderstorms. Highs will range from 67 in northwestern Illinois to 79 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast says a few scattered showers will develop again on Saturday. Dry weather expected during the day on Sunday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with the passage of a rather strong cold front Sunday night, with rain primarily confined to the northern sections. More on the agricultural weather at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's an unusual day, at least in recent times in Chicago, when the wheat pit manages to lead things higher. Why did that happen?
Well, I think there's several factors. I think definitely the weather pattern of cooler type weather coming into the northern plains probably is triggering some of that. The other thing is the market is terribly oversold. There's really nothing fundamentally bullish about wheat. Supplies continue to get bigger, so the trade and demand has not been very stout here, at least for the United States. So you've seen a lot of people leaning, I think, on the wheat market. I think the cold weather, frost potentials maybe damaging the spring crop is kind of maybe gave us a little trigger to that. And the market just kind of ran out of sellers in here. So if you run out of sellers, then the shorts begin to cover.
Is something you expect to dissipate quickly?
I kind of like the chart pattern on wheat. I do think that we need to see some follow-through to the upside. I mean, for the most part, you kind of got to view the wheat futures kind of in a sideways type mark in here. If you look at the December wheat futures, we've kind of had a low here about 450. The most recent high here has been about 481. So I think from a technical perspective, the market needs to kind of bust above this 481 area. I think then that would begin to bode well that maybe we did find the long-awaited so-called seasonal low in the wheat market, and the market might now begin to look ahead to fall wheat seedings and how that may or may not go with this late corn and soybean planting.
Speaking of which, how do you expect those markets to trade out over the next week and a half or so?
Well, I like the corn market. From a technical perspective, it's doing what it needs to do. If you kind of want to get this trend shifted to something more sideways, could be maybe something more in the sideways to higher point of view. We do have now two consecutive closes above the 50-day moving average here over the past couple of days. The thing that I've pointed out, I think even last week, is that the market exceeded the previous rally high point, and then now with the break that we had off of that high point last week to the low earlier this week, that low held above the previous corrective low point. So there is a kind of a sideways to higher little tilt to the corn market. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a runaway bull in here because we still have a lot of harvest pressure to go through, but we'll have to kind of see what size of crop we do have. October crop report I think is going to be important. You could see some acreage changes in that October report. And we know that the early corn yields are very strong, and we know that the yields in the western corn belt are very strong, but I'm not too sure anybody's for sure what the later yields are going to be here in the eastern corn belt. I've seen some work that would suggest that we're going to see a fall off of yields as we get into this May planted corn.
How much of a fall off? Enough to compensate what would be coming out of Iowa?
Well, I think you could see enough that you stop growing supplies, and I think that's the key here is maybe 162 that USDA issued in September. Maybe that's enough. You got to have some prairie style yields to come up with 162. So that may be enough to stop the supply growth. And once you stop growing supplies, the market flattens out.
Flattens out, so we have a bottom, relatively speaking, at this point. Does that mean anything to you that producers should take in hand and use to help market the crop that they'll be harvesting or maybe have already started in some spaces?
Well, prices are not very attractive, I don't think, when you take into account cost of production levels and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, each farmer is going to have to assess their own situation as far as whether they have storage or don't have storage and whether or not they have to pay for commercial storage type things. I'm, you know, kind of in the camp that I think you need to have some kind of price ownership in hand, even if you do let the commodity go at harvest. And I, you know, there's differing option type strategies that you could attach to a cash contract or visit with your local broker so you could at least maintain some kind of price ownership as we go down the road.
Because let me ask you a question on that. How much would you be willing, and no matter what the option is, but how much would you be willing to pay to have the crop back?
Well, I think some of these options, depending upon how you arrange them, are not a whole lot more than probably what cost of storage is going to cost. And then the other benefit of that is that you have removed downside price risk of that commodity. The only money that you're out is going to be the cost of that premium. So you not only are replacing it with approximate cost of storage, you also have the added benefit that you don't have downside price risk. And in this environment that we're in economically, both here and abroad, we just don't know what we're going to wake up to some morning. And I still think there's a lot of volatility in these markets that could swing it both ways in here.
So you're willing to market over the scale and then take a chance at cost of storage through which month? February, May, July?
Well, I think you can put together some option strategies either. I'm kind of in the camp to maybe take a look at July-type option strategies because I kind of want to be on board for a spring rally. For someone that maybe is a little more sophisticated, a little more active in options, may want to try something a little closer, and if that doesn't work, then they're willing to maybe put another strategy in place for the May contract. So there's a couple ways you have to kind of work on that, but if these basis levels stay as strong as they are, and I think there's reason to believe basis levels could stay a little stronger than probably what we would normally expect at first part of harvest, it's kind of hard to pass those basis levels up because I do think by the time we get toward the end of harvest, basis levels would be much wider. So farmers could take the advantage of using the little better basis levels here at the start of harvest, use some of that gain to purchase some kind of option ownership.
You realize that it's hard to lock in a loss and then lock in a second loss behind it potentially.
Well, all I'm saying is that there's alternatives. I mean, if you want to start looking at it that way, if you lock in a storage cost of 20 cents or 23 cents, are you any better off?
Right. No, I understood what you. Well, I understand what you mean. I'm just thinking from the farmer's perspective. You've got a loss on your crop, and then if you store it, you've got another loss potentially, and you're just trading a second loss for another. But it takes you gotta have to spend money to make money, apparently, in this one, and it just doesn't seem like the way they've had to do business in the last couple of years, and it'll seem a bit foreign to them, I would think.
Well, it's definitely challenging times, marketing is not getting any easier. Maybe I'm just an old bugger that's been around too many years, but it seems like it was easier 20 years ago than what it was today. But there's different alternatives. I mean, farmers, you know, graze crops to generate revenue, and, you know, there's a lot of cash flow coming at them. I mean, crop insurance premiums, which aren't small by no means, coming at them here, I think, November 1. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of cash rent payments begin to come due here December 1. So there is a lot of cash flow needs coming at the farmer, and, you know, there's ways to generate cash and still maintain upside ownership.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can hear this program, other ag programming, anytime you'd like. It's all at willag.org, and you can subscribe to our free weekend newsletter, too, there. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. Here's Dave now with the Ag News for the day.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson wants a separate bill on commodity futures just in case a large financial services reform bill gets bogged down by other committees. Speaking to reporters after a hearing, Peterson said members of the House Agriculture Committee want to make sure the provisions to counter speculation in the futures and derivatives market get passed. Peterson said he would prefer all derivatives go to a clearinghouse and those rejected by the clearinghouse be considered customized. The administration proposal creates two categories of derivatives, standardized, which would go through clearinghouses, and customized, which would be regulated through increased capital requirements. A Commodity Futures Trading Commission subcommittee said yesterday it will recommend a variable storage rate to be imposed for Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures starting with the December 2009 contract month. Members of the CFTC's Subcommittee on Convergence in Agricultural Commodity Markets said on a conference call that the previous changes to the CBOT wheat contract have not done enough to improve convergence between cash prices and futures. The subcommittee will recommend regulators consider a variable storage rate that could change from contract month to contract month, depending on spreads between the nearby contract and the first deferred contract month. Farm and agribusiness groups are urging U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk to ask the World Trade Organization to establish a new compliance panel to update the recent WTO Brazil cotton case ruling to take into account changes the 2008 Farm Bill made in the USDA Export Credit Guarantee Program. In a letter Monday, farm groups said that under the new rules, the export credit program will make an overall profit for the government rather than be a subsidy, but that the WTO panel did not take this into account when it said Brazil would be entitled to place tariffs or other import penalties on an amount of U.S. products based on the use of the program. And the International Grains Council today raised its estimate for world wheat production in 2009-10 to 666 million tons, up from a previous forecast of 662 million. The IGC also cut its forecast for world maize output in 2009-10 to 785 million tons, down from a previous projection of 787 million and the prior season's 790 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of those programs online anytime you'd like at willag.org. There you'll find all sorts of ag programming, including a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It's at willag.org. Now up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus reminds farmers and motorists to be safe on rural roadways this season.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Harvest season is here, and busier rural roads and grim outcomes are likely if precautions are not taken. The 2009 National Farm Safety and Health Week is September 20th through the 26th, and it launches a year-long focus on the theme, Rural Roadway Safety, Alert, Aware, and Alive. This year's theme was picked due to concerns about collisions and near collisions between farm equipment and motor vehicles. Harvest is one of the busiest times of year for traffic on rural roads, and consequently, the number of crashes between motor vehicles and farm equipment peak during this time. On average, more than 1,000 crashes occur between farm equipment and motor vehicles annually in the Midwest. In 2008, Illinois accounted for 249 of the 1,085 crashes documented by traffic safety officials. Of those crashes that annually occur, more than 30% involve non-fatal injuries, and about 2% result in fatalities. That is according to 2005 to 2008 regional data. Rural road safety is a concern for farmers and their families, and should be a concern for anyone else who could potentially share the road with farm equipment. In fact, motor vehicle operators and passengers and their parties most often injured or killed in these collisions. I would like to urge caution, courtesy, and patience from all parties. Farm equipment should be equipped with all the required and recommended lightings and markings in place and in working order. Road lights should be used in day and night. Additionally, motorists should be alert for farm equipment. Farm equipment can often stop and make wide turns or unexpected turns. Farm equipment also may be traveling at a fraction of the speed of a motor vehicle. Farmers and motorists together can contribute to a safer harvest season on the thousands of miles of rural roads that crisscross Illinois. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, give us a call at 217-333-9697. Or write Will Ag Staff at illinois.edu.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In 2 minutes, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levin.
It's National Cherries Jubilee Day. The dessert that today is made with cherries, liquor, and vanilla ice cream was first served at one of Queen Victoria's Jubilee celebrations. The Queen was reportedly partial to cherries. The original dish, though, didn't contain ice cream, but was meant to accompany venison, especially red deer or roebuck. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, Georges Claude was born. A French engineer, he invented the neon light. He first displayed the new light on December 10th of 1910 in Paris. The first U.S. firm to take advantage of the neon sign was a Packard car dealership in Los Angeles. In 1911, Earl Ovington became the first airmail pilot. His first load included 640 letters and 1,280 postcards, all tucked on the plane floor between his legs. In 1920, Mickey Rooney was born, one of our favorite Rooney roles as Shockey Carter in Hoosier Schoolboy. In the film, Mickey plays a farm boy who sticks by his alcoholic father and is helped by a teacher in getting his dad a job driving a milk truck. And in 1923, Nancy Green died. She was hired to represent and demonstrate Aunt Jemima pancake mix. At the 1893 Columbian Exposition in Chicago, the exhibit was so popular that police had to control the crowds at the Aunt Jemima booth. Fair officials awarded her a medal and proclaimed her Pancake Queen. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the phone this afternoon to help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, gray skies, a little wet. 69 degrees here, though. Yeah. That's not too terribly bad, I suppose, for the last few days of the month of September, although we're still way behind on growing degree days.
Yeah, that's it. It's still running in the fat part of the belt, that is from Illinois northwestward, up to 200 in some areas, 250 growing degree days behind normal. And even with these above normal temperatures that we're looking for the next few days before it cools off a little bit, you're just not going to catch up because even the normals don't get you enough growing degree days. And the alarming thing, of course, is the lateness of the crop. It seems that you get a mild week, reasonably good weather, and the crop still isn't gaining on its maturity in references to normal maturation dates. And we've got a corn crop that's, as of the Monday report, was 34% behind the normal rate of maturity. And that's the crop that's got a problem. And the weather, although good, and it's been mild in the Dakotas and Canada. Canada's had a wonderful break in warm temperatures and getting their spring grains, their wheat, moving along, and some of their oil seeds where they grow them. But the areas further south, Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, even Illinois, places like that, even though this first frost looks to me as though it's going to be a little later than the normal first date, is still not late enough to prevent a lot of the crop from getting their first frost or freeze before the crop is fully mature.
And so the race is on. They're around the fourth turn, and it's neck and neck coming into the end of this.
Yep.
What do you see as a first frost date for some places across the Midwest?
Well, I think there's a chance of a little patchy frost in the middle of next week in the far north, in the North Dakota, maybe Minnesota, those areas, and some of the unusual cold spots that are affected by radiational cooling. But boy, I don't see a shot of cold air until about late in the first week in October. And so we keep hanging on there with the crop creeping along, but it's frustrating to the farmer to see, even with no frost, that the crop just isn't gaining the way it would with the equivalent departures from normal, say, a month ago.
And if you take a look at other places around the globe, what do you see?
Well, two areas of interest. First of all, the Argentine finally looks like they're getting rain, which they've been missing for a couple of years, and that's going to get their winter crops off to spring crops off to a good start, their wheat crop. The problem area is India. We've talked about that a few times. India now is running 28% below normal nationwide on precipitation. That's really quite an extraordinary departure from normal for them. And we're talking principally in northern India, the Ganges Valley and parts of north-central India. We're looking at areas that produce oil seeds and some coarse grains up there. And they're going to have a real shortfall. It looks like the monsoon is withdrawing early this year, and that means they're not going to get even the late rains they'd like to get in the last week or so of September.
Pete, thanks much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On a Thursday afternoon, you have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.